Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Help us this morning, Lord, as we look into your word and see more of this victory. Show us the way. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Glory. You may be seated, but be nice to somebody on your way down. They told me my microphone was on while I was fellowshipping before the service, and so I started flipping switches to make sure I was dead, and I killed it all. All glory. Well, how many are ready to have some fun in the Word of God? All right, come on, take your Bibles. Get them open to there's more of me than I thought. Luke chapter 15. Totally gone. There we go. Is that happening out there too, or just up here? Out there too? Okay. Luke chapter 15, verse number 11. Will be my passage in just a couple of moments. Don't read on ahead. I can see some of you already, you're off. Here we go. Come on back. There we go. Praise the Lord.
Yes. Good.
You know, it's so strange because I only get to see you just an hour or so every Sunday morning. And it's hard because I want to stand up here and get to know some of you. Hi. My name's Bill, Pastor Bill. Hey, you. Hi. There's even people up there. You know, if you're here for the very first time, we are super glad you're here. We want to be able to welcome you properly. We have a gift for you. If you will stop at the information booth out there in the hallway, we don't want to humiliate you or anything like that, but we want to make sure that you know that we're glad you're here. How about church? Let's welcome all those that are here for the first time. Amen. Well, for those of you that haven't been with us, I would tell you that for the last, I should start here. I've only been here for a couple of months myself, so we're all new kids. All right, I came the first week of June, and we began to kind of lay a foundation scripturally that we will build upon in the years together as we walk in the Lord Jesus. Amen? And we kind of started digging down until we found bedrock last week, and let me just give you a real quick overview, because this morning's message is really the kind of the end of this portion. You won't believe what the Lord's laid on my heart for next Sunday, but I'm not going to tell you that or I'd start preaching it. So we've been talking about foundational truths. Those of you who've been with us from the beginning, you might remember what the first one was, that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. How many agree with that? Boy, if you can't get that one down, you're really messed up. I'm sorry, but it's true. Because you're never going to get to the point to understand that we are a new creation in Christ Jesus if you haven't come to the knowledge and the awareness that God created all things. I am so incredibly thrilled to be able to get on my knees and pray to the God who created all things. Anybody else? How about back here in the back? Yes. All right. When God created man, he created man in a communion relationship with him. That is, that they conversed, that they connected with one another, meeting and displaying mutual desire to meet one another's needs. I don't know if you perceive your life in this way, but you and I can actually step in and give pleasure to God. How many are aware of that? My Bible says that he, and I quoted this a few minutes ago, he inhabits the praises of his people. The psalmist said, come into his presence with thanksgiving, come into his courts with praise, be thankful unto him and bless his name. He's admonishing us. Why? Because God comes when people begin to honor and praise him. Jesus said, and I said this a moment ago, he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. That's a commitment. It wasn't just a picture of the Old Testament lifting up the servant, but it's more than that. It's power for us. As we begin in our lives to lift up the Lord Jesus, his presence comes. You ever need the Lord? Do you ever need his help along the way? Lift him up. Begin to lift him up. Begin to give him glory. Begin to give him praise. Begin to proclaim his name. It's surprising. It's overwhelming at what God can do in every situation. Every situation. I'd like to tell you this morning that he'll just end every problem that you have. That would be neat, wouldn't it? How many would like that? You know, you just tell God about it, and then it's all over with. No more problems. I can't do that. Sometimes he ends the problem. Sometimes, more times, he gives us the strength to walk through it. I couldn't and I wouldn't want to live my life without the Lord Jesus. God created us to be in communion with him. But can you believe it? Mankind made a decision to rebel against God. And that rebellion against God broke the communion relationship with him. Your sins, the scripture says, have hidden God from you. What happens with us when we sin? We distance ourselves from the very source of life and strength and power. God was not satisfied when man broke that communion relationship with him. He began immediately to restore mankind back into communion with him. He modeled it in the patriarchs. How many remember this message? Two of you. Thank you. Thanks, Sharon. Appreciate that. I'll feed you after church today. He pictured it in the tabernacle, and he proclaimed it through the prophets. God wanted mankind to know what it was like and what it was about to be in relationship with him. People say, well, you know, I live in the New Testament. I really don't read the Old Testament. Well, you should. Because the Old Testament, in the first five books, is going to talk to you about how God dealt first one-on-one with men, and then how he dealt with a whole nation of people, pouring himself and his love into their lives. You know what the sad part of it is? Is that it seems the more he loved them, the more they despised him. They would push off from God and let sin get in the way, idolatry, and they would distance themselves and be an absolute wreck. And God would woo them back. They would come back to him, they would repent, and his blessings would pour over their lives. And that they, as they were at the peak of enjoying his blessings, they would decide that they needed to rebel against him, and off they would go. And where did it take them? Back into pain and darkness and sorrow. How many have come to the understanding that away from God means sadness, near to God means peace? Have you found that to be true? Last week we talked about the next slide, please. There we go. God purchased communion with man. There was only one way that you and I could be back in communion relationship with God. And that was that Jesus would die upon a cross for your and my sins. He came as a fulfillment to all the promises of God. He came as our way in behind the veil. If you remember the veil that divided the holy place and the holy of holies. He came with a confirmation power of the Holy Spirit. This morning, we're going to look at the scripture in a little bit different way. And I'd like for you to center your attention upon the screens. Because I want to take you now to the last portion of this, the last final piece that brings us to restoration of communion with God. One final variable to the restoration of communion between God and man. And that is man's response to God's drawing, to God's sacrifice, to God's desire, when man says yes to God. In this marvelous story that you've seen depicted and heard the worship team sing about, this young man decided that to rebel against his father, to go off into a foreign place, would be the right thing to do. It is a type, if you will, an illustration of all of mankind that runs off to squander all that God has given him. And what happens in that place without the Father? There's emptiness and struggle. Sin is pleasurable for a season, but the end is death. The young man found, and this parable is a parable of Jesus. And I think it's interesting that we should note at the beginning of chapter 15, the words here. It says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" This man, Jesus, welcomes sinners and eats with them. You know, I just have a feeling that when they said this about Jesus, that Jesus said, "Yeah, you're right. As a matter of fact, that's why I came into the world, was so that I could welcome sinners and eat with them, fellowship with them, have communion with them." Hallelujah. I am glad this morning to tell you that Jesus welcomes sinners and eats with them. But it's on the heels of that statement that this story comes from the lips of Jesus as he tells about this son who rebels against the father, goes off and squanders his inheritance, and then finds himself eating the husks that were fed to the pigs. And that one scripture there that says, "And when he came to himself," that was his turning point. How low can you go before you are willing to turn and recognize that all of the hope of your life is in Jesus? you realize that some people will go all the way to the judgment seat, proclaiming their right to be free, proclaiming their right to live their own way and to rebel against God, all the way to the point where they stand face to face with Jesus, and in that moment realize that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who died for their sins. It's amazing. My Bible says that in that time, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And it doesn't say every tongue will confess him as Savior. It's too late. It doesn't say that every tongue will confess him as King. They'll never know him as King. It says every tongue will confess he is Lord. The word is despot, absolute ruler of all things. There is a day coming where those who have spit in the eye of God, shaken their finger in his face, proclaimed their liberty, proclaimed how free they were from all the entanglements, if you will, of being a believer. They could live their life their own way. One day they will bow their knee and proclaim, he is Lord. But in that day, there won't be a day of decision. That is a day of judgment. It's a different day. The day that we're living in now, if we're wise enough to recognize that back at Father's house, there's all the provisions that we need. In Father's house, there's hope in the midst of life's difficult circumstances. At Father's house, there's forgiveness from all that we have done. This young man and the picture of this young man going home. And I think it's played out so beautifully in this little film because he is coming back. He's beaten down. He's filthy. He's used. When the father sees him far off. Don't you love that part of this passage? When the father sees him far off, he runs to him. Takes him in his arms. Loves on him, welcomes him home. This is Jesus telling this story. It's not Matthew or Mark or Luke or John telling something. This was Jesus' story that he was telling to the people in response to them saying, he welcomes sinners and eats with them. Jesus said, let me tell you about it. God runs to them. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm too dirty. I'm too rebellious. I'm too. God is ready. There's only two things that need to happen. One is that we hear his invitation. This young man knew his father well enough. He knew his father well enough. And you know, let me kind of get between the lines here just a little bit, if I can. Now, this is my own speculation, but it had to be. Because this young man knew Dad well enough that he would welcome even strangers. Hello? He had witnessed this as he was growing up, as his dad took special care over the servants of their household. This young man said, I know that if I return home, that even if I come in as a servant, my father takes care of his servants. Come on. Have you come to understand that God, our Father, takes care of his servants? Everybody who is under the canopy of his leadership, everybody that's in his household, that he is mindful of what is happening in their lives. The young man said, if I can just get home, I've witnessed my father taking care of everybody in his household. Oh, I hope that the enemy has not so deceived you that you think that that somehow, some way, that you would not be, if you are in God's household, that you would be outside of that. It's a lie of the enemy. God, our Heavenly Father, takes care of everybody that is in His household. This young man just needed to accept Dad's invitation. He just needed to accept the reality. You say, well, where was the invitation given? I didn't see that. The invitation was spoken as he was growing up, where his father was reaching out and embracing the hurting. His father was loving those who were unlovely. His father was reaching toward the servants and taking care of them. He witnessed over and over and over again how his father had loved on and cared for. And it was an open invitation that he knew. And when he came to his senses, when he finally woke up and realized, in my father's house, I will be cared for. Even if it's as a servant. Now, I want you to understand that this young man, and Jesus points this out, he did not come home with full knowledge. I've listened to this my whole life as people say, well, I'm studying. I'm trying to prepare myself, and then I'm going to come back to God. I'm cleaning myself up. I'm doing this and that, and then I'm going to come back to God. Oh, come on, give it up. There's no way you can get good enough to be, or honorable enough to be accepted into the Father's house. Give it up. And just realize that Father has an open invitation. It's a whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord. It's King James, sounds better, right? Whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, it's a huge word, it's a God word. When you and I extend an invitation, there's always a qualifier in it. You know, you can come to my house, but we won't invite the others. Not with God. God said, whosoever. The young man knew about this invitation that has been extended. Do you know about the invitation? The Lord Jesus said, come unto me, all who labor and are burdened down with stuff. He said, I want to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Uh-oh, he's wanting to burden me down. No. Learn of me. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Come on. You see, don't let preachers or anybody else put a huge burden down upon you to be in God's house and in God's family. Because God is a burden breaker. Jesus came as a burden lifter, a burden sharer. He wants to step into your situation and lift the load off of you. He did not come into this world to bring a burden down upon you that says, oh, I got to do this, I got to do that, I can't do this, I can't do that. This is not God. This is man's response. And the Pharisees have already been there and it didn't work. This is about coming and accepting the invitation of your Heavenly Father, the Creator of all things, who wants so desperately to be in communion relationship with His people, His man, His woman that He created. He wants it so desperately. He's just waiting for each one of us to say, I accept your invitation. I wonder today, no matter what your political affiliation, no matter what you think of the President of the United States, based upon the information you have been given, were you to go home this afternoon and receive a dispatch that came from the hand of the President of the United States saying, you are invited to have dinner with the President of the United States. He requests your presence. I wonder how many of us would let other stuff stand in the way. If nothing else, we would be curious as to why would he want me? We'd probably tell, some of us might tell our friends, well, I didn't necessarily vote for him, but I'm going to go just to see what he wants. Hello? Can you be truthful enough to say that? I mean, to go to the White House as an invited guest and have a little nameplate. You know, we were at the Indianapolis Museum of Art yesterday, and they were getting ready for a big old huge wedding. And every plate had a little name tag on it. So there wasn't any mistake. If you weren't invited to that thing, you weren't invited. Because every single plate had a name, you know, name calligraphy, you know, written out there real beautiful. And so everybody would have gone around and found their name and sat down. Imagine you go into the White House and you see your name sitting there. Now, come on, that'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? Come on, that'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? Don't go to sleep on me just yet. We're together such a short amount of time. We got to stay together. My Bible says in John the 14th chapter, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, many mansions, if you will. If it were not so, I would have told you. Oh, and I like this. He says, I am going to prepare a place for you. Woo. And as I go, he said, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. Why? So that where I am, there you can be also. Are you catching any of this at all to realize that our Heavenly Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the powerful Holy Spirit is investing in your life? He is calling, He is extending an invitation, saying, come to the riches of glory. Hallelujah. He said, well, Pastor Bill, you know, I look at Christians and they just don't look all that happy. And you know, I watch Christians and they have problems just like everybody else. Let me tell you something. This story is just beginning. This is just the beginning of it. You won't believe what the end is like. You will not believe what will happen when those of us who have been transformed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ leave these physical trappings behind and step into all that God has prepared for us. You won't believe what is ahead. Hallelujah. You see, be careful about judging this and, you know, deciding whether you're going to accept the invitation based on what you can see right now. I mean, if I got that invitation from the President of the United States this afternoon when I get home, I'm going to be looking, but anyway. If I got that invitation, you know, I'd go to my closet and I would look at what I have to wear. And it would be kind of, I'm too fat for that, I'm too fat for that, I've gained too much weight for that. That doesn't fit. Oh, I remember back when I used to wear that. No. Chances are, I'm going to have to scrape together some dollars and go and buy something to wear. Hello? Because, forgive me, but this just isn't going to cut it. You know what I mean? And if I get to take Sharon with me, that's another whole story. Then we have to worry about being there on time. Communion is restored when you and I accept the invitation. It's not going to be about what we can wear. It's not going to be about what we can do. It's all about what He has done for us. It's about what He is desiring to do with us. It's about what God's plans are. He said He has plans for us. Plans to prosper us and bless us. Some of you are going through some stuff right now, and you're a believer, and you say, I don't understand why I'm going through this stuff. I don't understand why it's down on my life. Kids are sick, and the finances are crowding in, and the house is leaking, and oh my goodness, I can't believe it, and the car just stopped, and wow, can it get any rougher? I'm reading in the mornings right now, I'm reading in Job. Yep, it can. You know, there was a movie out several years ago. They talked about the right stuff. Do you have the right stuff to be a believer? You say, oh, God, here we go. I knew He was going to put something down on top of us. You know what the right stuff is to be a believer? Simply believe that God loves you so desperately that He sent Jesus into the world, died upon the cross for you, and that you are in His arms. The young man went home because he knew that if he went home, the Father would take care of him. I don't know how God's going to work out your circumstance, but I know this. If you'll stay in communion relationship with Him, He will work it out. Paul recognized this. The guy who was in prison every other day. The guy who was beaten, left for dead several times. Made the proclamation. I know who I have believed in. And I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. In other words, I accepted the invitation on a Damascus road, and I am confident that what God started in me on that road, He's going to bring through to completion. And if they beat me, if they put me in prison, mere inconveniences compared to what God has in store for me. As a matter of fact, as he's nearing the end of his journey, he told his little protege, Timothy, he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God through Christ Jesus, my Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, church. When are we going to recognize to be on God's team, be in God's family, be part of what God is doing in His world? It's the right way. It's the powerful way. It's the only way. Accept His invitation. Oh, I have to show you a couple things. Where are we at now?
There we go.
I never know. I have to look at the screen. I do have notes, see, so I have prepared. Man's acceptance brings newness. There it is. Isn't that neat how I say it? It just pops up there. Bless you. He says we are a new creation. We have new birth. There's a new spirit that dwells within us and a brand new purpose for our bodies. I encourage you this morning. Look at those four things. A new creation, new birth, a new spirit, new purpose for our bodies. It's new, 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 new. That's what God wants. As a matter of fact, He says new every morning. This morning I sat out on the patio and the Lord and I were having our time. And there was a family of deer that stayed with me the entire time. I was pretty sure, you know, I'd close my eyes. I thought, well, probably when I open my eyes back up, they'll be gone. They stayed with me the whole time. It was cool. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longs for you, O God. longs for the living God. Do you know that? Do you know that feeling, that hunger, that thirst after God? See, I'm afraid that so many, all they know is a new church, new people, and new clothes, new car. They've never experienced really new birth or a new purpose for their life. In 2 weeks, I want to talk to you about living God's purpose for your life. On Labor Day weekend, if you are not someplace, and I understand if you need to go, but we're going to have church here still on Labor Day weekend. And I want to talk to you about God's purpose for your life. God has a purpose for your life. It's a huge purpose. It's gigantic. It's bigger than anything that you could come up with yourself. He has a plan for you, a purpose for your body beyond just eking out a few years and then being put into a grave. God has plans for you. Hello? You remember the tabernacle? We talked about the tabernacle a couple of times. How God illustrated this communion relationship through the tabernacle. And then Jesus came as the embodiment of that truth, walking through the waters of baptism. Well, stay with me for just a moment because I want you to get the full picture here as it involves us. Because regarding these washings of the tabernacle, we follow Christ in the waters of baptism. And the Apostle Paul even goes so far to say that we are cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word. Don't worry over getting things out of your life. Just get close to God. God will wash those things away. You see, what happens is we start trying to do it in ourselves. We get discouraged and we blame God. When God says, come to me. Come to me with your burdens. Come to me with your sins. Come to me with the problems of your life. Come to me and sit at my feet. Learn of me, and I will give you rest. He promised another, like unto himself in the 16th chapter of John. He promised another just like him to come. He said he won't be with you. He'll be in you. Many of us pray like God is someplace out beyond the universe. God, I have a need. He's in you. He wants to be power in you. He said, you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Power to do what needs to be done, to make the changes that are needful in your life. You don't have to do it on your own. Oh, goodness. Sacrifices? The sacrifices of our Lord is still complete. Jesus died upon the cross for your sins and mine. That's the last sacrifice that needs to be made. The Apostle Paul does encourage us in passages like Romans chapter 12, verse 1, when he says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And I love this part, which is your reasonable service. Fall in love with him. Give him your life. You know, here, it sounds like this. You get up in the morning and you say, Lord, I recognize that the words of the Apostle Paul in the 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians are correct. That I am not my own. I was bought with a price. Jesus purchased me. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. That's who I am. I have received you, and I am your child. Now, use me today. My journey is going to take me to my job so that I can earn money to care for my family. But that's not my purpose. God, have your way in me. Come on. Because I am yours. I am not just a hopeless, helpless person running around out here. I am a man. I am a woman of God. Hallelujah. And you let his word, you say, you know, I hear people say, I just don't have time to read the word. Oh my goodness. What do you have time for? Have time to get sick? Have time to spend in the hospital? Have time to dissolve your marriage? Say, well, no, I don't have time for those things either. Well, then you need the word. David said, I hide your word in my heart so that I won't sin against you. You learn how to enjoy relationships in our lives by studying the word of God, by reading the word. You say, you know, I read it, I just don't understand it. It's because you're wanting to just leap up off of the page. You know, there are times that I sit down with a passage of scripture, and I've been preaching now for better than 40 years. But there are times I sit down with a passage of scripture that I have read countless times, but the Holy Spirit lays it upon my heart, and I'll read that passage of scripture and I think, boy, I know there's something really good here, but I just can't get a hold of it. There are times that I have to sit down with a pen in hand, and I actually have to sit down and write each word out and see how the next word relates to that word. And invariably, every single time that happens to me, God digs out something right there before me by the power of his Holy Spirit that I needed first in my life. See, there was too much of Bill in the way to hear the voice of the Spirit, so I had to work over it a little bit. You know, start looking at it in that way. You open up a passage of Scripture, you read a passage of Scripture, and you think, well, I can't get to this. Then just pause there for a minute and say, Lord, there's too much of me in the way. There's too much of my humanness in the way. I need more of your Spirit. Help me to work through this. Begin to study through it. I say that because that passage of Scripture is there. It's going to wash you. When you let it, it's going to pour over your life. It's going to do something for you. How many of you let the Word of God mess with you a little bit? Come on! Do you like to have fun? Well, yeah, but I never really thought of it in terms of the Word of God. Why not? Who invented fun? God did. If you let Him, God will show you how to really have fun. That's the reason why the Apostle Paul could say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Yes. Writing from prison. Because he had sat with Silas, began to sing and glorify and praise God in the midnight hour, and watched God send an earthquake that shook the prison and all the prison doors went open. Don't you know? Come on, they were human. They had to go cool. Not really. I mean, they had to say, where else could you get this to do? You know, how else could you get that to happen? They were enjoying it so much they didn't even move. The jailer gets all panicky and everything, runs and gets a light, looks inside. They say, don't sweat it. We're right here. This is cool. We're just having some fun in the Lord. Have you experienced the fun that God wants to give you as you read and study and let the Word of God pour over your life? Something that you're dealing with, something that's troubling you, something that's going on in your household, and all of a sudden, you know, that passage of Scripture, and God makes you camp out over it a little bit, and you begin to study it, and you begin to let it unfold in your life, and all of a sudden, God shows you that's the very answer that you needed to the problem, the circumstance that you're going through, and all of a sudden, you go, whoa, this is cool. Let me finish it. You run and show it to somebody else, and they go, oh, really? Because the word wasn't for them, it was for you. Hallelujah! Yeah. Oh, what time is it? I'm about, oh my goodness. See, I get to having fun up here. I'm sorry you can't all have this fun. You're having so much fun, please let us go. Bread. Learn to feast upon Jesus. The lamp. Jesus said, you. You know, he first said, I am the light of the world. But then he says, you are the light of the world. Be like a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. You know, I love it when people say, well, you know, I'm bashful. I'm backward. I'm not outgoing. Let God. Hello? Let God surprise you. Let him surprise you as to what he can speak and to whom he can speak through you. I'm an introvert. Some of you probably don't believe that, do you? I am an introvert. Boy, I love what I'm doing. By the power of the Holy Spirit, to open up the Word of God. See, this isn't just something that I get to do. You get to do it too. You have a whole world that I will never be in. There are whole groups of people that you have the power to touch and the pulpit to present the word that I will never, ever, ever have the opportunity to step into. I just get to come before you and lay this out before you that God loves you so much that he sent an invitation that if you accept, your life can be changed. But you get to take it into all the world. It's good news. Oh, we can talk about the incense, that prayer that is free. He said, come boldly before the throne of grace. He invited us to come in. He said, come on, let your life just be incense. Pray without ceasing. And I have to finish, but let me give you the last one, and that's the fire. Do you remember in the tabernacle, God said, you prepare everything in the way that I told you to prepare it. He said, you get it all ready because, you see, it's just a type of my relationship. It's signifying my presence among the people. So he said, you do it just like I told you. And Moses and all the people, they got everything ready, all the sacrifices and everything. There was only one thing that they were lacking. It was fire. John, when he baptized Jesus and put him down into the water and brought him back up, he said, I baptize you with water, but this one here, he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Go to Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. It said on the day of Pentecost, fire came, settled down into the room over each one of them. Did you know God wants to light a fire in your life? An eternal, powerful, glorious fire in your life that will make you a new creation. Oh, Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Father, thank you, 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 thank you. That you didn't just let man be separated from you, but you ran to us, took us in your arms, held us close, gave everything so that we could be back in relationship with you. Jesus, you paid it all. Even though we owed so much, you paid our debt. Help us, O Lord, to finish this work by saying yes to your invitation. I believe that there are people in this room, Lord, who have been running around doing life their own way, and they are exhausted. Some who have even been playing church, they've been playing the part of a believer. It's not really working for them. They're still hopeless. They're lacking peace. They have no joy. Their problems are still overwhelming them. And they're questioning whether this is even real. I pray this morning, God, that you would show them through the power of your Holy Spirit that you have done everything that was needful to be in relationship with them this morning. There's only one thing left, and that's for them to accept what you have done. I pray that as we close this service this morning, that men and women, young and old, would say yes to you, Lord Jesus. And let you take them in your arms and love them as you want to do. Praise you, Lord. The book of Revelation to the church says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, fellowship with him, and he with me." I wonder this morning if you would be willing to accept the invitation of the Lord. It's not really about what you can do, as much as it is what he has already done. He's waiting for you to come home. Bring your fears. Bring your anger. Bring your questions. He's not afraid of any of them. Bring your sins and your sorrows and your sicknesses and your troubles. He's prepared to help you with them all. If you need Jesus this morning, I invite you to come to this altar. You say, "Well, Pastor Bill, why do I need to come to an altar?" Oh, it's just movement. It's stepping out of where you are and who you are and moving toward God. Just like the prodigal son had to leave the pit and go home to God. Move. Come to God. Don't worry about what other people will think around you. If you're not enjoying the sweet presence of God every single day, if his power and his love is not evident in your life, then you need to come. Everyone stand with me, please. We will make this as easy as we possibly can make it. If you are separated from the Lord, if you are not in a communion relationship with Him, to where you know that He is involved with every portion of your life, I invite you to come to this altar this morning. There's no judgment here. No judgment in Christ Jesus. Just step out and say, I need the loving arms of God to be wrapped around me. I need forgiveness. I need healing. I need strength. I need peace. What I'm going through is bigger than I am. I need my God this morning. Come. I just believe He'll meet you here. He'll run to you just like He ran to the prodigal. He will run to you and wrap you in His arms and minister to you. Whatever your need may be, come to your Father this morning and let Him minister to you.